We're going to be talking this morning about three men that finished their lives well. In the book, Confronting Powerless Christianity, Charles Kraft says his son Rick has run in 18 full marathons, 26.2 miles each. Kraft says he has watched his son punish his body in the races and training. His son averages running 5 to 6 miles each day to stay in shape. He even made himself run every day for more than a year just to prove he could do it. Kraft once asked his son about his goal in running marathons. Rick responded that his goal was not necessarily to win. Kraft's son said, "I never hope to win a marathon. I just want to finish." Kraft says once his wife and he went to a marathon with his son's family, they provided water and offered Rick encouragement in the race. Though he was spent, Rick managed to finish the cross the finish line. His time was not what he had hoped to be. Rick's legs were stiff and it took him a few days to recuperate, but he finished the race. Kraft said his son tells him that a major encouragement is that his wife is always waiting at the finish line each race. Rick added that usually fans are cheering at the starting point and in the finish point. This tempts a runner to exert himself too much at the start, responding to the cheering but using too much energy. The hardest part of the race is the middle, where few fans cheer and the runner is nearly overwhelmed by the awareness of how tired his body is. You know, as we run the marathon of life, we often find ourselves overwhelmed and weary. As we run the middle part of the race of life, where we can't see the finish line and the excitement of the start has worn off, we can get discouraged. This is when our faith in Jesus Christ will be tested and tempered. If we will continue to let the Lord guide us, He will strengthen our faith and guide us through the marathon of life that leads to a good finish. And a good finish is very important. Mickey Spillane says, "The most important part of a story is the ending. No one ever reads a book to get to the middle." Amen? Amen. So, our goal in life should be to finish our lives well. A good finish to our lives will define it to a great degree. Jim Wilson says this: "The ending is the context for everything that precedes it. Without a strong ending, the value of our lives is cheapened and the potential of our..." Bummer. I hate it when I can't change the page quick. "The potential of our influence is diminished. Our faithfulness must be for a lifetime. We must finish well." And I believe that is what the writer of Hebrews is trying to portray to us as he describes these three heroes of the faith. I believe this was the idea that the writer of Hebrews wanted to teach his audience. We see the writer, intentionally show the faith of Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph by revealing what they did at the end of their lives. Think about that for a minute. Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph had shown great faith throughout their lives. But the writer of Hebrews shows their faith by emphasizing what they did at the end of their lives. I believe this is because he is trying to encourage his audience, and God is in trying to encourage us to finish well, to go all the way, to complete what God, to complete our faith, walk with Christ in our lives. He's encouraging us to continue on so that we will have our influence continue on to the next generation. He could have used many examples in the lives of these three heroes of the faith, but he chose to show what they did at the end of their lives to define their faith. We must understand that the Christian life is much like running a marathon. It requires a faith that endures to the end of the race. This passage shows us the kind of faith that finishes well. As we look at this passage, we will see three attributes of a faith that finishes well. In the process, we will have a knowledge that will strengthen our faith and help us to finish our lives well. So let's take a look at this passage and see a faith that finishes well. First of all, look at verse 20 of Hebrews chapter 11. It says, "By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come." Now, the first thing I want us to understand is faith that finishes well accepts God's will even when it is not preferred. Faith that finishes well accepts God's will even when it is not preferred. Now, in the time of the patriarchs, it was customary for the father to pass on the birthright and special blessing to the eldest son. The birthright granted a double portion of the inheritance. The special blessing was given to pass on the headship of the family and the spiritual responsibilities that came with it. Now, Isaac's wife, Rebekah, had twin boys, Jacob and Esau. Esau was born first, making him the eldest son. However, God told Rebekah that the younger son, Jacob, would be ruler over the elder. It would be Jacob who would receive the birthright and the special blessing. So Jacob would be the son that the promised plan of God that we've been talking about would be fulfilled through, not Esau. Well, this was clearly not Isaac's choice. It was clearly not Isaac's preference. Not only was Esau the eldest son, but Isaac favored him because Esau was the one who brought him fresh venison to eat. And I can understand that. I love fresh venison, and so if my son brings me fresh venison, I'm really going to enjoy that, amen? And so we're told in the scriptures that this was one of the reasons that Isaac favored Esau. Now, we could get into why we shouldn't favor one child over the other, and that was one of the downfalls of Isaac, but he did favor Esau over Jacob. Esau was a man's man, and Jacob seems to have been more of a mama's boy, being Rebekah's favorite son. I mean, it just kind of looks like that. He liked to dwell in tents, you know. I might be overstating the fact, but it just seems that way. Isaac's intention was to give the birthright and special blessing to Esau. That was his intention. That was his preference. However, with the help of his mother, Jacob was able to deceive Isaac into giving him the blessing. Not only that, but Esau sold his birthright to Jacob for a bowl of pottage. So, yeah, this is how it went down. So through all these circumstances, Jacob was the recipient of both the birthright and the special blessing. Now, Isaac could have been extremely upset about this and demanded that that not be the case. But we see at the end of Genesis chapter 7, verse 33, at the end of that verse, he recognizes that this was God's will. He recognizes that this was God's will. In spite of the deception, in spite of how it came about, he accepted it as God's will. He submitted to God's will here. He recognized that the words that God had spoken to Rebecca were the truth, and God wanted Jacob to be the heir. He wanted Jacob to be the one that got the birthright. He wanted Jacob to be the one who got the special blessing. Isaac accepted God's will, even though his preference was different from God's. Think about that for a minute. He accepted God's will, even though his preference was different than God's. In spite of the circumstances surrounding how Jacob received the birthright and blessing, Isaac recognized that God in his providence orchestrated these events to fulfill his words to Rebekah. Stanley Outlaw states, Isaac's faith was manifested in his acknowledgement that the blessing on Jacob would stand regardless of the deception, an apparent concession that this was God's will after all. You see that? Isaac accepted God's will, even though his preference was different from God's. You know, the older I get, the more I realize that this is part of my faith in Jesus Christ. The older I get, the more I realize that this is part of my faith in Jesus Christ. When I was younger, I had many dreams and aspirations. But you know what? Most of those simply were not God's will. They simply were not God's will. And so, over the years, I've had to accept God's will over my preferences. And you know what? That's part of our faith in God. That is part of our faith in Jesus Christ. Now, when we do that, our desires become, his will becomes our desires. And we receive the desires of our heart. But it's being able to trust that God's will is going to be accomplished in our lives, and trusting that his will is better than our preferences. That is the kind of faith that we see Isaac exhibiting. And I believe that's the kind of faith that God wants us to exhibit. You know, this story really shows how a God who is completely sovereign interacts with man and his free will. You see how it works? God's will is going to be accomplished, isn't it? When he says something is going to happen, it's going to happen. And even his followers, when they have different preferences, he still works out the circumstances where his will is done, and those who trust in him will come along with his will. That's what we see here, a wonderful interaction. But we need to recognize that this is part of faith. This is part of our faith. Accepting God's will, even though it may not be our preference. Sometimes that's hard. Sometimes circumstances come into our lives that we not only don't prefer, but we despise, that we certainly don't want in our lives. But we must acknowledge our sovereign God. We must acknowledge his providence in our lives, and we must accept it. And that is part of having faith in Jesus Christ. So, a faith that finishes well, learns to accept that God's will is more important and better than our desires or preferences. Now, let's go to verse 21. It says, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. Now, the second attribute I see of faith here is faith that finishes well has a persistent discernment. Faith that finishes well has a persistent discernment. Now, the writer of Hebrews gives us some insight into the faith of Jacob. As the end of Jacob's life is explained, I see three things that point to the fact that Jacob was given a persistent ability to discern God's will for his life and for his family. It is pointed out that Jacob chose to pass on the blessing he received from Isaac to Joseph and his sons Ephraim and Manasseh. So Jacob chose to pass on the special blessing to Joseph and his sons Ephraim and Manasseh. This meant that Jacob decided to pass over his eldest son, Reuben. Think about that for a minute. Reuben was the eldest son. This was the son that Leah bore him. Now, Jacob revealed the reasoning for this decision in Genesis chapter 49. When he tells Reuben he would not excel because of his adultery with Bilhah, Jacob's concubine. So Jacob tells Reuben that he is as unstable as water. Jacob was accurate in his discernment of his eldest son. He could see his son and what was going on in his life. He could see the spiritual condition of his son. And at the end of his life, while he's talking and assessing each one of his sons and some of his grandchildren, he is able to accurately assess their spiritual condition. And in his assessment, he's able to encourage them to do better. Now that's great faith right there. When you have a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, he gives you wisdom. He gives you insight. And that insight will help you to discern the spiritual welfare of not only yourself, but the spiritual welfare of others. And it will also help you to encourage others to do better in their walk with the Lord. And that's what we see in Jacob. He was also accurate in his assessment of Joseph's sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. When Joseph brought Manasseh and Ephraim to Jacob to be blessed, he put Manasseh on the right of Jacob's, on Jacob's right side, because he was the eldest, and he put Ephraim on the left side. However, when Jacob blessed the two sons, Jacob crossed his arms, he put his right hand on Ephraim and his left hand on Manasseh. And in spite of Joseph's resistance to his father's choice, Jacob persisted and gave Ephraim the greater blessing because he recognized that he would become a stronger influence in Israel. And indeed, this came to pass, and the tribe of Ephraim ascended over the tribe of Manasseh. So once again, we see Jacob able to discern God's will as he assessed his grandsons, Ephraim and Manasseh. Because of his faith in Christ, because of his faith in the promises of God, he was able to have great discernment. Now, there's one last thing that we see about that is pointed out about Jacob's discerning faith that we should take notice of. We are told that Jacob kept worshiping God even as his body was failing him. Notice what it says in verse 21 at the end. It says, and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. You see, even though Jacob's body was failing, he faithfully worshiped God right up until the end of his life, even though his body was weary and worn. Now, there's a reason for that. Jacob had been given some discernment from God, and that was this. Jacob understood the importance of passing his faith on to the next generation. He understood the importance of that, and he realized that it would take him worshiping God faithfully to the end of his life in order to be completely successful in doing that. Jacob wanted to show his family his faith in God, and he wanted to pass that faith on to them. He understood the principle that Paul would teach later in the New Testament when it says in Romans 1:17, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. How is faith passed on to the next generation? It's passed on by our faith to their faith. That's how it is passed on. And Jacob recognized this. He discerned this. He had a discernment that he realized he needed to continue to worship God faithfully so that his faith would be passed on to the next generation. And in order for us to finish well, we need to continue to be faithful to worship God, even as our bodies wear out. So let's look to the Lord to give us discernment in our lives and persistently worship Him all of our days so we can be examples to the next generation of believers in Jesus Christ. Now, finally, verse 22. Verse 22 in Hebrews 11 says, by faith Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. Finally, I want us to realize that faith that finishes well views the present with the promise of God in mind. Faith that finishes well views the present with the promise of God in mind. Now, in verse 22, we are told that Joseph made a request just before his death. His bones were to be brought to Canaan when the Israelites departed Egypt. Now, the Israelites did not depart Egypt until 300 years after Joseph's death. Think about that for a minute. It was 300 years, roughly 300 years, after Joseph's death that the Israelites departed Egypt and went back to Canaan. So Joseph was relying solely on the promise that God had made to his great-grandfather, Abraham, when he made the request. Think about that for a minute. What was he relying on? The promise of God. He was relying on the promise of God for his future and for what was going to happen in the future. You see, Joseph had been told by his dad, and maybe his granddad, and his great-granddad had told them that God had promised the land of Canaan to them, and that they would be the recipients of that. And so Joseph, by faith in that promise, said, look, I know we're in Egypt now, but God promised we're going to be in Canaan. So when I go, when you go, take my bones with you, because I want to be in Canaan. And that's exactly what they did. Joshua made sure that when they went over, they took the bones of Joseph. And so there's something to be said about this. I believe one of the greatest, I believe this is a great display of Joseph's faith. But Joseph, boy, he was an excellent example of someone who lived by faith. There were many obstacles in Joseph's life. And I believe his faith in the promise of God got him through those. One of the greatest displays of Joseph's faith in God's promise was his willingness to forgive his brothers for selling him into slavery. Just think about that, how much bitterness there could have been over such a horrible deed done to him. Instead of being bitter at his brothers, Joseph saw that God used even the bad that his brothers did to him as a fulfillment of God's promised plan. Think about that. Joseph said to his brothers in Genesis 50:20, but as for you, you meant it for evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. You see how he thought? You see the thinking process? He thought about the promise of God. He thought about how Abraham and his descendants would need to stay alive in order for God to fulfill that promised plan that he made to his great-granddaddy. And this was being fulfilled through all the bad that had happened to Joseph. Wow. That's faith. Being able to look at your circumstances and see the promise of God and understand that he will fulfill his promises to us in spite of the things that happened to us. Joseph saw what happened to him as a fulfillment of God's promised plan. This helped him avoid bitterness in his life and helped him to finish well. Our faith in God's promise through his Son, Jesus Christ, can keep us from bitterness as well. When bad things happen to us, we should remember the promise that God has made to us. And that promise comes through his Son, Jesus Christ. We need to remember as believers in Jesus Christ that we have a promise of eternal life. And that promise also comes with the love of Christ and the grace of God. And because of his grace and his love towards us, he will help us through even the worst circumstances in our lives. And he will help us even when people do bad things to us. And we need to rely on that promise through Jesus Christ. We need to rely on his death, burial, and resurrection for the forgiveness of our sins and our eternal life. And not only that, we need to rely on him and that promise for here and now, for the things that happen to us. We need to understand that our faith in God requires us to trust in the promise even when bad things happen to us. So we have some excellent examples of faith that finishes well. These three men were by no means perfect people. We are especially reminded of this in the Genesis account of Isaac and Jacob. However, they learned to rely on God as they went through the trials of life. Because they possessed a faith that accepts God's will, gave them persistent discernment and an awareness of the promise of God, they finished their lives well. Let's strive to do the same.